Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, you're blessing us with your presence a second time this week. Great to have you.
Well, whether you wanted it or not, you get some bonus Buchanani this week, folks.
You know what? I think listeners have been demanding this. They've been calling it more Buchanani, more Buchanani.
That's a marketing trick I'm sure you know, Jim. You mark something as backed by popular demand, even if nobody asked for it.
Well, I asked for it.
Okay, there you go.
Chris, I asked for it. And I'll tell you why. As I think a lot of our listeners are also advocates of the For the Bloggy YouTube channel and their website.
As great well they should be.
Yes, some absolutely great stuff there, fantastic stuff. And Chris is a contributor to For the Bloggy. And Chris, I love it when you get into the history of Penn State football. As most of our listeners know, I am a, let's call it, experienced Penn State fan. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. I'm experienced. That means I'm old and I've been around for a while. And I love the conversations about some of the old teams, individual players. It's really fantastic. And you have been able to tap into that. And I love it every time you come out with one of the articles. And this time, your article is about running back tandems at Penn State. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is an experienced Penn State fan like myself, you know there was such a history of running backs at Penn State and also tandems where we've had more than one good running back on the same team. What prompted you to write this article to look into that history?
Sure. Well, and if people want to read it, they can go right to fortheblogy.com. No matter when you're listening to this, it's going to be up towards the top of the page, if not at the very top. The article title is Two for the Show, which for the record, I did not write. The authors do not write their headlines, folks. That's a very important rule of journalism. We all ought to learn. The author rarely writes the headline. I do get to headline my own columns there during the season. But Two for the Show, fortheblogy.com. We all appreciate the clicks. Thanks so much. It's the coin of the realm. And it's a good piece. I think you'll enjoy it. To speak just briefly, Jim, to what you said about Penn State history, I think anywhere in life, knowing that you are, you know, you're a character in an ongoing story with whatever is going on, your family, your nation, your community, that's important. There was research published in the New York Times probably about a decade ago now. But I thought it was a really interesting story that showed that kids who are brought up in a family where they're taught their family history and can orient themselves inside a unique narrative that they're a part of show signs of being more mentally resilient, more adaptable, better at problem solving. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us and a good lesson for us as Penn Staters, because I think people know how rewarding and rich the Penn State story is and how strong the sense of family is if you are a Penn Stater. You've heard a lot of talk about that this week at the Olympics with some of our best athletes who have not been shy about talking about their connections back to Happy Valley. And so it's something I'm passionate about. So I talk about university history a lot. And I think as a fan of Penn State football, you can get a lot more out of it if you know a little bit about the full continuum of the story of this program. And I'll throw one more quick plug out. If you're a member of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, you can take my class on Penn State football history this fall. And if you're not, you can sign up. So you can just go to the OLLI website. Just look up Penn State OLLI, OLLI. Moving on, getting through those plugs and going back to the article, we're spending an entire show plugging. Why did I want to look at Penn State running back tandems? Well, you're right. We've had an embarrassment of riches at the tailback position at Penn State over the years. I always say, if you sit down and try to make a list of the top 10 running backs at Penn State, you're invariably going to leave off an unbelievably good player. like just an all-time great, you're going to have to leave him out of the top 10. You might omit our only Heisman Trophy winner. You might omit an NFL Hall of Famer. You might omit potentially the career rushing leader in school history, depending on how you define greatness and ranking the top 10 backs. Beyond that, as you said, there have been so many times where we've had a pair of great runners at the same time because we recruit so well at the position. Very often we find ourselves with the good problem to have of two or more terrific runners who are so talented, you just can't keep them off the field. And I got to thinking about the situation we're enjoying right now with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. And I thought both of these guys are really RB1s. Pretty much at any great program in the country, they're going to be at the very least in a 1-2 punch. And probably 95% of the schools of FBS, you put either Nick or Catron on their roster, that's their starter. And so I thought, as we're going into what I think we all agree is likely to be the last year for both of these guys, because they'll have their third year of college in and they'll be headed off to the NFL. I thought, you know, it'd be cool to look at just exactly where do they fit in the history of great 1-2 punches in Penn State football history. And what I found out is they compare very, very favorably.
They do. And I'm going to sidetrack us just for a second, get away from the history, and just talking about Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, you said they're both RB1s, okay? They both could be the lead running back at most schools. I want to give a pat on the back to whether it's James Franklin, Juwan Sider, who they're able to handle two first-class RB1-type running backs.
Yes.
You not only are they both great players, but they work with each other so well. We've not heard one complaint from either one of them. And even more interesting, they are both enthusiastic supporters and blockers for the other guy.
Yeah, great point. And another coach who deserves a shout out in talking about the success of both of them is Phil Troutwine. Because as Saquon Barkley found out in his 2017 Heisman campaign, if the blocking at the line of scrimmage is subpar, then it doesn't matter how talented you are, you're going to have some tough sledding. Although that was great preparation for him to go play for the New York Giants the last several years. So college does prepare you for the real world, folks.
Hopefully he'll have a new experience when he gets to the Eagles.
Lips to God's ears, Jim. One other thing on the point about how well those two guys work together. I do think, in general, modern high school football recruits are smarter and better informed about the recruiting process and the pipeline from elite high school player to have a chance to play in the NFL than probably we've ever seen in the history of the sport. And I think of the running back position, guys who are really talented and are going to be running backs are acutely aware of the short shelf life of that position in the pros. Most guys are not fortunate enough to do what Saquon Barkley did, which is to get a lucrative second contract. And so they realize there's value in not putting too much wear on the tires while they're in college. So I think at one point, the number of snaps you were going to take and being a bell cow back, that was a way you could entice an elite running back to come play for your program. Now I think it's just the opposite. I think being able to credibly promise a talented runner that he's going to be part of a rotation is a bonus. You can say, listen, you're going to get your chance to make impact plays, play before big crowds and big games. You're going to get plenty of tape to impress the scouts, but we're not going to make you carry the ball 250 or more time. We're not going to give you 300 carries in a season and do that over the course of multiple years and wear you out, so that the scouts in the NFL look at you with a jaundiced eye. I mean, we saw what a benefit that was to Miles Sanders as an NFL prospect, that he split time with Saquon Barkley. So I think in past years, what we've seen with Nick and Catron might have set up a liability on the recruiting trail. I think in terms of bringing elite running backs to Penn State, I think what we're doing with these two guys as a 1-2 punch is actually going to be a strength.
Which reminds me of the old story. I think it was John McKay who was asked about one of his running backs at USC getting like 40 or 50 carries. I want to say Ricky Bell, but it could have been any one of them. And they asked him about carrying the ball, you know, over 40 times. And his response was, "What's the big deal? The ball's not that heavy."
Well, John McKay won a lot of titles for USC with that philosophy. Probably would not fly in 2024.
Probably not. And you make the great point where recruits now are smart enough to understand it. It's still, I think there are still running backs who their ego probably does not allow them to do that. You know, they want to be the clear cut. I'm the number one guy. But you're right. The smarter ones know better.
I think the sales pitch to keep those guys here was partially, hey, look, your counterpart being able to take this load of the carries, that's a feature, not a bug.
Exactly. And the NFL scouts, they're going to understand that you are getting less carries because of who you have in the backfield with you. One last sidetracking here. You mentioned about how Saquon Barkley, thank goodness for Phil Troutwine, the offensive line there. But now, big change this year, Andy Kotelnicki coming in as offensive coordinator. What do you think that will do to the quantity and quality of carries for the running backs?
I actually expect both are going to increase. I think we talked about this at some point when we were discussing the coordinator switch. I compare it to when we brought in Joe Moorhead. So again, in a different sort of way, but you looked at Moorhead's offensive scheme and you thought, oh, okay, high flying, this kind of a air it out, run and gun type scheme. And Kotelnicki, you see all the trick plays and the creativity and the wild formations. The commonality for both those guys is that their schemes and their offensive philosophy was run first. Everything was predicated off the run. It was the old school football philosophy of run to set up the pass, run to set up whatever you do. And James has preached the importance of getting the ball into the hands of our most talented players and made that a focal point of the hiring process and said that was a selling point for bringing Kotelnicki here. So I think you're going to see heavy reliance on the running backs, and you're going to see them used as a way to lay the foundation for everything else creative he wants to do with the offense.
I agree with you, and I'm looking forward to that creativity. Not, oh, he's going to be run heavy, pass heavy, but he's going to use both and do that in a creative way. All right, Chris, I'm done sidetracking you. When we come back for quarter two, we're going to get back into your article. Stay tuned for us. Like I said, after a short break, we'll be back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with some bonus Chris Buchanani on our show. Second time this week. It is great to have you on.
By popular demand.
By popular demand. I demanded it, all right? That's enough. It's good to run the show, Chris. Anyway, the reason why we have you on again is talking about an article you did for the Bloggy, talking about running back tandems, and it was the tandem of current one of Catron Allen and Nick Singleton that prompted this article. So let's talk about, first of all, your parameters and comparing dual, you know, Penn State running back tandems. Because it always reminds me, years ago, there was the trivia question of what brothers had the most home runs in the major leagues, what brother pair, and it was Hank Aaron and his brother, and, you know, Hank Aaron had, what, 755, and I think his brother had one, so they were the top, so obviously we're not going to have an a Hank Aaron situation in your tandem. So what parameters did you use?
Yeah, very good question. So I looked at two things. One thing about Nick and Catron is that their careers are going to line up precisely. They came in at the same time, and I barring anything very unexpected, they're going to leave Penn State at the same time. So we have had great running back tandems whose careers overlapped for a couple of seasons, but didn't share the entirety of their careers like Nick and Catron have. So what I did is I looked at two different things. I looked at the best career numbers for pairs of running backs who did what these two guys have done, came in at the same time and left at the same time. And then I just looked at single seasons, who were the most productive Penn State running back duos in any single year. And so for that, to avoid the Hank Aaron situation or my buddy Chris the Buzzsaw Adamski from TrivLive.com, I was telling him about this article. He talked about Mario Lemieux and his brother as like the most productive goal-scoring brothers in NHL history. To avoid that, I eliminated any season where the lesser-producing back produced less than 30% of the overall yardage. So there had to be, at minimum, a 70-30 split between the lead dog and the complementary back. And so a great example of that is if you're just looking at most productive tandem seasons in Penn State history, 1994 with Kajana Carter and Mike Archie would be number two overall. But Kajana Carter accounts for about 84% of the yardage in that. So that didn't factor into my list of the top 10 seasons.
So in, was it 2002?
Sorry, it was number three. It would have been number three.
So in 2002, when Larry Johnson had over 2,000 yards on his own, Larry Johnson and me accounted for over 2,000 yards that year, and we would be second on your list, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I love Tim Shaw. He is one of my favorite Penn State defenders. Unbelievably inspiring personal story. He does not get to tack his yardage onto Larry Johnson and go to the top of the list.
And I take it neither do I. Okay. Okay. Yes. So I was really hoping to get onto this chart. So let's get to it. What did you find out? Who were the best tandems? Let's start with just in a single year, Chris. Who were the tandems that were at the top of the list?
Okay. Well, here's the interesting thing, Jim. And this is going to be a recurring theme. We really need to appreciate these two guys, not just what they've done already, but what they stand to do this year. We're going to be watching program history being made every time either one of these two touches the ball. And I think that's really cool. I think maybe that's flown under the radar a little bit, how excited and appreciative we should be for the pair of Nick and Catron. So when you look at the top 10 single seasons for a pair of running backs who surpassed that minimum 70-30 split, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton appear twice, and they have the number two season overall and the number eight. So that 2022 Rose Bowl campaign, when they were both freshmen, that's ranked second overall among Penn State running back tandems. And then last year, where their production dipped a little bit from where it was in year one, still ranks as the eighth best season overall.
And in that freshman season, it actually, and people forget this, it took a couple games before they became the backs. They became the guys because there were still veterans around who were getting carries.
In 13 games, they combined for almost 2,000 yards. They were at 1,928, and they scored 22 touchdowns on the ground, which is tied with the number four best season, which is Curtis Enos and Aaron Harris in 1996. I'm sure we'll talk about them a little bit, for the second most touchdowns of our best tandem seasons for Penn State running backs. So really, really, the Rose Bowl campaign, they were as great, as star-studded as that defense was, and for as good a season as Sean Clifford had, they were the straw that stirred the drink of the 2022 Rose Bowl team.
And I agree with you that I feel like they are a bit overlooked. Why do you think that is?
I don't want to say it's that they're overlooked. It's just that I don't think people are fully appreciating the enormity of what they've done so far and what they stand to do. Again, maybe because, Jim, I think we sometimes fail to put these things in the proper context. And again, for me, it just enriches the experience of being a fan. It improves the experience of watching games and being a part of a season if you can understand that it's one chapter in an ongoing story. So I think you step back, you look at that bigger picture, and you think, wow, we have been really lucky to watch some unbelievably talented teams and players play live or see them on TV and be able to root for them. And these two guys are players we're going to talk about in those odd tones of voice in years to go forward. We're really going to look back on this era of Penn State football and talk about what Nick Singleton and Catron Allen did in blue and white. It's pretty cool.
And we're going to get to the, you know, the full career of tandems. Right now we're looking at the single season ones. And just as an aside, and I know I brought this up before, Chris, that we are going to have a bold prediction show as we do every year. And yeah, I've already made the bold prediction. I think they're both going to get 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, you and I have gone back and forth on that. I'm not quite a buyer on it, but going back to what I talked about in the first segment with the run first mentality, I think Kotelnicki is going to bring, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Well, I think if just making the offense better, it's going to give them more quality opportunities and just playing more quantity also opportunities, that the offense will just be more efficient, will play better, which will give them more opportunities. All right, Chris, we're talking about just the single season. What is the best tandem that, or at least by the numbers, who is the best tandem that we've had in this Penn State history?
Well, my biggest takeaway in going back and looking through all of this data, Jim, is that we probably don't appreciate or talk about the Franco Harris-Lydell Mitchell backfield enough, because those two guys in 1971, a year in which the Nittany Lions went 11-1, they beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl, really great season. They turned in one of the all-time most productive seasons for a pair of college football running backs. Let me just give you these stats. And again, this is run first 1971. So they combined for 377 carries, 2,251 yards. Between them, they averaged 6 yards a carry, and they scored 32 rushing touchdowns. So again, think about what I just said. Tied for second all-time for a pair of running backs are Nick and Catron and Curtis Enos and Aaron Harris with 22. Those guys scored on the ground 32 times during the 71 season. And again, you look at what they went on to do. Franco Harris, I think most of the listening audience knows everything that he did as a Pittsburgh Steeler. 4 rings, the immaculate reception for a while, number 2 overall in NFL rushing yards, and Shrineman and Canton. And Lydell Mitchell, absolutely no slouch, still second all-time in Colts franchise rushing history, a college football Hall of Famer, and just on the other side of the cut to make the NFL Hall of Fame. There are still people out there who believe he should have been enshrined in the NFL Hall of Fame as well. So to have those two guys together at Penn State for the time that they were and that unbelievable 1971 season, we should probably appreciate them even more than we do.
Well, first off, 32 touchdowns. And it was my understanding there'd be no math, but I'm going to take a shot at it here, Chris.
Go for it.
11 games, 32 touchdowns tells me that's pretty much 3 per game.
Again, which is just nuts, because you can be an incredibly productive tailback, and then you just think about all the factors that come into who scores in short yardage situations. The quarterback can keep it. Jopa obviously loved to hand the ball to the fullback in those situations. You're going to run play action, and then there are all the plays where a receiver scores from farther out. To do it 32 times is just unbelievable, and to have the super high rushing stats to match it, like the 71 is going to be tough to surpass.
And you know what, again, being an experienced fan that I am, Chris, I remember watching them play. Okay. My earliest memories of Penn State football are with Lydell Mitchell and Franco Harris. Now in that 71 season, total of 2251 yards. Do you have in front of you what the split was between those two?
Yeah, I can pull it up.
I've got it in front of me,
Chris. Okay, great.
Got it in front of me. Mitchell had 1,567 of those yards.
Yes.
Which I think, and it has a lot to do with Franco's career with the Steelers. As you said, a Hall of Fame career. I think a lot of fans in general and Penn State fans specifically have forgotten just how good Lydell Mitchell was.
Absolutely. There is no question about it. Like I said, there are people who believe he should have been an NFL Hall of Famer. And unlike Franco, because Lydell was getting more of the carries, Franco did not get the recognition from the College Football Hall of Fame. And in fact, Joe had to make a call to a scout in Pittsburgh to advocate for him and say, hey, don't overlook this kid. He's a really talented running back.
And it's interesting also, and I do have this memory that I thought of Lydell Mitchell as the star of that team, okay? And so in the 72 draft, which they were both in, I was 12 years old at the time, and I'm looking for Lydell Mitchell, you know, to be that top running back, Chris. And I'm going to leave this hanging here until we start up segment number two. And without you looking it up, I'm going to ask you if you know where these guys were picked, what number they were picked in the draft, were chosen.
Oh, no.
Because it's really fascinating. And like from when I was 12 years old until now, I'm still fascinated about it. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris. I'm Jim. It's quarter number three, and we are talking about the Penn State football history of running back tandems. And Chris, when we left off in quarter number two, it was a tease. I left it hanging. It was interesting. The Franco Harris, Lydell Mitchell lead year as a running back tandem was 1971. They rushed for a combined 2,251 yards with Lydell Mitchell the lead number. Do you know where they went to in the 1971 or 72 draft? I will share it with you.
Okay, I will tell you that I don't off the top of my head. I mean, I've read about this and seen it. I'm not terrific with recall on this type of stuff. Let me just take a guess, though. I'm going to say that Lydell went in the 3 to 5 range and Franco in the 12 to 14 range.
You're half right.
Okay.
Franco went pick number 13.
Okay, yeah.
To the Steelers.
Yeah.
What's interesting was, me as this young Penn State fan, I'm like, oh my goodness, what do the Steelers know? Picking him ahead of Lydell Mitchell, would that not have been the better pick? Mitchell went in pick 48.
Wow, are you serious?
To the Colts.
48?
Yeah,
second
round.
And I mean, again, they've had some really terrific running backs, and he's still number two behind only Edgerrin James.
And
career rushing yards for that franchise.
He was a phenomenal player. We obviously know Franco went on to be a Hall of Famer. You know, the Steelers were smart. It's why they had people who handled their draft and they didn't hire me to do it.
Yeah.
They were correct. They were picking a Hall of Famer. But Lydell Mitchell went in the second round to the Colts. In fact, from just off the top of my head, I thought he went later in the first round. I had to go back and look it up and see he went in the second round. But I also believe the Colts used him a little bit differently. And this is just off the top of my head. And we're going back 50 years here, Chris. But I also believe they used him out of the backfield catching the ball quite a bit also with the Colts. So, really very, very talented pair of running backs. It was incredible. They had a couple other guys in that era. In 1969, they had Franco Harris, Lydell Mitchell, and Charlie Pittman. The three of them were almost equal in their number. They all had between over 600 yards for Mitchell and Harris, and Pittman had just over 700, 706. So, you know, really interesting. Sticking with this, just the single years, as you went through this, any of these tandems surprise you that they showed up on this lead list?
No, not really. If I was going to say what surprised me the most, other than I was, again, while fully appreciative of how great Lydell and Franco were, I don't think until I actually looked at the numbers in full context did I really appreciate what they did. Even with the fact that 1970s college football offenses philosophically were very different than what we see in the game today, still really just one of the amazing careers and single season performances for those two guys. I think the other thing that just shocked me was I talked about the 96 season with the great Curtis Enos and the great Aaron Harris splitting carries, was number four overall. I expected to see 97 rank on that list as well, but Curtis carried more of the load. And then you think about the games Aaron Harris missed because he was injured about two thirds of the way through that season. It didn't rank with some of the bigger seasons. So that was actually the biggest surprise for me.
The Aaron Harris, I think younger fans do not understand how good he really was and how much the injury affected him.
No question. I will tell you, there is a great highlight reel on YouTube. If you want to get fired up for college football season and learn a little Penn State history or revisit it, just look up Aaron Harris highlights. He had a run in the 1997 Ohio State game where Penn State and OSU were both ranked in the top 10, and we were hosting them here at Beaver Stadium, and Penn State was trailing in the game. He rips off this scoring run that, to me, demonstrates everything he brought to the table as a running back. Before he got hit, Jim, he was just the complete package. You watch this run, you see everything. You see power, vision, agility, footwork, ability to break tackles. He shows all of it in one run, and it was clutch. Penn State absolutely needed him to do what he did at the moment that he did it. And the other thing is, I was a contemporary of his. I had class with him. He was a great guy off the field. I've heard nothing but positive things from his teammates and other lettermen. And he was a leader in the locker room. You could tell he led by example. Really, I think at times you could just see it on the field, the way he was uplifting his teammates with his level of play. I can't say enough good things about Aaron Harris.
One of the greats that, again, when you talk about doing that all-time ranking of individual running backs, he'll get forgotten on that list, but what could have been. The one that surprised me a little bit, and I probably shouldn't have been surprised, but number three was Stephon Green and Evan Royster.
Yes.
Now, Royster got, you know, the most of the carries. He was at 68%. Stephon Green got 32%. But I was still surprised with this star-studded list of running backs that they were number three on this single-season list.
Yeah, especially because Steph Green was a potent receiving threat as well. But that 2008 offense, Jim, was just an absolute juggernaut, the spread HD. When you think about what Penn State brought to the table that year, they had a great offensive line. They had a Remington Award winner in A.Q. Shipley. So they could move people off the line of scrimmage, and they were such a threat with the dual threat potency of Darrell Clark. Like, he could hurt you with his feet, or he could throw to that plethora of talented receivers they had, the trio of kids who came in as freshmen in 2005 and then matured: Derek Williams, Deion Butler, Jordan Norwood, a great receiver, great tight ends in Andrew Corliss and Mickey Schuler. So you really put the defense in a tough position, and then you had those two great running backs. So they just racked up a lot of offensive yards, period, that season. So when you think about it from that perspective, it doesn't make sense.
All right, Chris, let's take a look at
1,800 combined rushing yards for those two guys and 16 scores on the ground.
That's a great number. Let's look at the career numbers for people where it's, again, right, Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell on the top.
Before we move on, yeah. I do just want to point out a couple of things about the single season performances, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I know you were, just like I was a contemporary of Aaron Harris, you were a contemporary of the great Kurt Warner. Before there was Kurt Warner with a K, there was Kurt Warner with a C. And Kurt Warner is the only running back to appear currently. We'll see what happens. But he's currently the only running back to appear on this list three times and with two different running backs. So Booker Moore and Kurt Warner's 1980 season ranks 10th all time. That's maybe in danger of being bumped by Nick and Catron this season. But then Kurt's at number 9 as well with Jonathan Williams in the 1982 national championship season. And their 1981 season, which was no slouch by Penn State standards either, ranks number 7 overall. And then the other guys, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, to add on with Kurt Warner. So that's 3 years, 80, 81, and 82.
Correct.
And my personal anecdote with Kurt Warner is playing pickup basketball with him. And I don't know if people realize he lettered in multiple sports in college, including, I think it was track and baseball also.
Yeah.
And so on the basketball court, you know, that before you start playing, everybody's just shooting around. Here comes this guy walking on the court, takes his shirt off, and, you know, it's like my jaw just dropped. Oh, my God. Look at this guy. This is a guy who could probably do anything he wants. He starts taking shots from like 15, 20 feet, nothing but net, goes under the hoop. From a standstill, someone tosses the ball, goes up, dunks it, and turns and says, all right, guys, ready to play? Boom. Everyone just snapped, started playing because Kurt said, let's start. Just watching him and play pickup basketball, you knew what kind of leader he probably was in the clubhouse also.
Absolutely a terrific runner. It just looked like he was gliding on grass when he would run. And great vision. And for somebody who was, I think, ultimately more of an agility and speed runner, he could also make the defense remember him when they had to have a collision. So, yeah, I think because Kurt Warner was so great and he was one of the faces of those terrific offenses of the early 80s, including our first national championship team of 82, the guys he shared the load with in these three of the top 10 single season tandem performances get a little overlooked. But John Williams and Booker Moore, great runners in their own rights, Jim. Like, again, an example of you go almost anywhere else and you're RB1.
Yes. And I think if it's possible, Kurt Warner gets a little bit overlooked in Penn State running back history.
I think that's right. I think it's right. And he absolutely should not be. He's probably in the top three if you're talking about that top 10 list. And then just to talk about the other two great seasons, I mentioned Kajana Carter and Mike Archie. Now, Kajana took the bulk of the carries and had most of the productivity in 1994, but the prior season, he and Archie split it up a little bit more evenly, and they had the number 5 all-time single season for a pair of Penn State running backs, almost 1,800 yards on the ground and 13 scores. And then not to forget what they meant to the program. Bill Belton and Zach Zwinak in 2013 for Bill O'Brien were number 6. Those guys combined for 1,792 on the ground, same amount as Kajana and Archie, and 17 scores. So really, they're tied for 5th place, those two.
And they did it in a very challenging season.
Yeah, absolutely. That was not the greatest offensive line in Penn State history, that's for sure.
They did. And was that not the year of the 4 overtime win?
It was. And that's Belton's signature moment, isn't it? And Elian is scoring the game winning touchdown in that game.
We had, just as an aside, a few weeks ago, questions about the greatest whiteout game ever. And you have to put that probably as someone, if there were neutral observers watching the games, that one was so competitive, so interesting, so fun, and went 4 overtimes. You got to say that might be the best single whiteout game.
I would still give that to the 2016 Ohio State game, but it's a close competition. And now let me ask you, did you count only the all stadium whiteouts, or does 05 Ohio State get in the mix as well?
Well, it wasn't official, but I had some terrific memories from that 05 one too. So anyway, we need to move on. That's it. Quarter three. Stick with us for quarter four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. We're talking about the all-time running back tandems at Penn State. Somehow we shifted into whiteout game. We did that talking about the 2013 season. Bill Belton scoring the winning touchdown in the fourth overtime of the whiteout, which some might say is the best whiteout game. It didn't have the meaning that 2016 did, but just for pure football game, four overtimes, you can't top that. And some just great late game heroics going on. There was an incredible catch, Allen Robinson, in that last drive for Penn State in regulation also. But you asked me about for the whiteouts, did I count the unofficial 2005, which whether it was official or not, that was really the start of what the whiteout is now, was that 2005. And I actually got to watch that game from a suite, Chris. And it got actually a little bit scary because the suites actually started swaying. They were moving, which tells you.
Don't get me started, Jim. But method to the madness, folks. He and I had about a minute to fill in that segment. And so you didn't want to start the conversation you couldn't finish by bringing up the career numbers. And here we are. You just started a conversation that might have taken over the whole segment. So let's talk about these career tandems. All right. We'll talk whiteouts another time, I promise.
Okay. Well, we've got then the career numbers, and it's interesting. And part of this is, you know, having the good fortune of two players kind of coming in together, getting 3 years that their careers overlap that much. What did you find out? What kind of numbers did you get from that? Who was at the top?
Well, again, to reinforce my number one takeaway, we don't talk and appreciate the Harris Mitchell backfield enough. They're number one overall, Jim. They had the best single season. They had the best shared career from 1969 to 71. Participating in a total of 62 games in that time period, which, by the way, is far and away the least of the guys in the top three. They carried it 881 times between them. They put up nearly 5,000 yards on the ground, and they scored 62 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. So really just an unbelievable pair of tailbacks for Penn State. And then my second takeaway is that this year we're going to be seeing Catron Allen and Nick Singleton chasing all-time program history, because they are currently sitting at 52 games played with 3,582 combined rushing yards. Now they have 36 rushing touchdowns. I don't think they're going to touch the 62 number that Harris and Mitchell hit, but if they combine for even less yardage than they've had in either of their first two seasons, they're going to jump from where they currently sit at number four in the all-time pair of backs with a shared career to number one overall as far as having the most productivity on the ground. And they're going to do it with, you know, playing probably only about three, four, maximum five to six more games than Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell did it. And they're going to have a bigger number. So at the end of the season, I think we are all hoping for Catron Allen and Nick Singleton to go down as the most productive pair of Penn State running backs sharing a career as far as rushing yards are concerned of all time.
I have no doubt that they will. As old guys, you kind of look at Franco Harris, Lydell Mitchell, or at least I do. They're like the pinnacle. And part of you wants to say, I don't want them to get surpassed because of who they were, what those names mean. But I'm going to be rooting for Allen and Singleton, not just
records are made to be broken, my man.
Exactly. And they have a chance to shatter it. I just, again, did some quick arithmetic here, Chris. And I have it as they need 1,354 yards only.
Correct.
To get to number one. If they have the kind of season we expect, I'm the one who said I think they'll each have a 1,000-yard season. They're going to crush the record by Mitchell and Harris.
Yeah, and for context for folks, the less productive season of the two they've had so far, they combined for 1,654 last year. So they are absolutely on pace to move into the number one spot. And like you said, if they have a better season, more comparable to their freshman year in 2022, they are going to own number one with a bullet. And I think that helps them lay claim to belonging in the conversation with Franco and Lydell, because you do need to make the caveat that I used all official numbers on this. So players prior to 2002, and this hurts Kurt Warner too, don't have their bowl stats reflected in the official NCAA numbers. So Kurt Warner loses a bunch of rushing yards and touchdowns from that. Certainly Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell lose productivity. So for these guys to just blow the number out of the water, I think would be great in terms of their legacy with the program.
And you also have to remember back in Franco and Lydell's day, they played 10 regular season games.
Correct.
And then a bowl, as opposed to 12. So yes. There was all, so that'll, hurts them even more. It has to be remembered, that kind of the context for the history.
Sure.
Tell me, Chris, a little bit more about Franco and Lydell are currently number one. Catron and Nick Singleton are number four. A couple interesting names for number two and three for the all-time shared career for these tandems.
Yeah, let's talk about number three first, because I mentioned them at the end of last segment. It's a name most even recent Penn State fans will know. It's Bill Belton and Zach Zwinak, who shared a career from 2011 to 2014. Over 73 games, they had 811 attempts, 3,760 yards, and got into the end zone 35 times. And those guys deserve a lot of credit because of what they brought to the table at one of the toughest moments in Penn State program history and the productivity they delivered when it was needed most. I mean, I think everyone remembers Zach Zwinak emerging after Silas Red left the program in 2012 and Bill Belton running behind some very average at best offensive lines and bridging the gap from both of them, bridging the gap from the Bill O'Brien era to the James Franklin era. And really from Joe to Bill to James and sticking with the program and sticking with their commitment to Penn State. They deserve a lot of credit. And you look at the numbers, again, we probably don't appreciate them enough for what they did while they were here.
And the number two group.
So this is going back a little bit. Names that you and I will know, Jim. Maybe some of the younger fans in the audience won't be familiar with, but should be appreciated. That's from 1976 to 78. You have Mike Gooman and Matt Suey, who I love because he's a State College native and was an 85 Bear and the lead blocking fullback for Walter Payton, who's my all-time favorite NFL player, a best friend of Walter Payton that famously helped that family manage his estate after Walter's early and untimely passing. Really a great pair of backs, Jim, who led the Penn State rushing attack during a really good era of Penn State football, including Joe's first crack at the national championship, which unfortunately came up a little short versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. You can go find the video of Alabama's famous four down goal line stand. I maintain to this day that if we had the video review we have now, Matt Suey scored on third down in that game. But yeah, great pair of running backs, Gooman and Suey. 3,900 yards and 38 touchdowns over 79 games together.
Well, what you had was Gooman over the top. That was that fourth down carry, and Alabama was just waiting for him. And anyway, we won't go into that story. That one's too painful. I'm curious too, Chris, when you do this research, you always bump into something you didn't know or didn't remember. And it's like, oh, wow, there it is in researching these statistics. What did you run into that maybe you didn't expect to see when researching this article?
Well, to be honest, nothing really, like nothing totally blindsided me. One thing I will tell you is going back to the 70-30 split, one of my favorite Penn State running backs who I think is a little unheralded is Rodney Kinlaw. And his 2007 season, in which he shared carries with freshman Evan Royster, fell just below the cut to make this list. Royster, I think, had 28% of the carries. If he would have been on the other side of the 30%, you know, dividing line, their 2007 would have ranked third or fourth all time, if we were also counting the Archie Carter season. But if we just say we're going to throw out 94, they would have been third all time with just a few more yards from Evan Royster. And they combined for over 1,800 yards and 15 rushing touchdowns. And I was just a little disappointed that that didn't work out. I wanted to stick with my system. I thought it was fair. But I love Rodney Kinlaw, and he deserves more love than he gets.
How about this, Chris? There were a couple years where there were three running backs.
Yeah.
Any years that stood out that, you know, they don't fit the criteria with the two running backs, but deserve mention when there was three of them?
Yeah, not really. I mean, Stephen Pitts deserves credit for what he did with those mid-90s teams. But what you asked me about and what some of my friends asked me about is I find out people remember the three-headed rushing monster of Eric McCoo and Larry Johnson and Omar Easy, just in terms of overall productivity, Jim. I went back and I looked at their careers. And again, Aaron Harris had some overlap there. Mike Ciaramelli, the fullback, got some carries in 99. He had Cordell Mitchell. Even if you add up all of those guys' productivity, it doesn't match what these elite tailbacks did as tandems in some of the best seasons in Penn State history. I mean, those guys just happen to play, talking about McCoo, Easy, and LJ, at a kind of a down period for Penn State football. Like, we just weren't getting it done offensively like we're used to as Nittany Lions fans.
I saw that. I looked that up too. And the memory, you know, I expected that to be more yardage there. Totally off topic, but an interesting little tidbit I found when researching this and looking at that 1982 team where they won the first national championship. They also had a first national champion to throw for more yards than they run, and they also had the toughest schedule in the country. Do you know that they played the number one, the number two, the number four, and the number five ranked teams in the country when they played them?
I did know that, and that's why SMU has no claim on that title, Jim.
All right, very good, Chris. This was a fun show. I really enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.